You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who can ID all of the Big Brother Canada winners. I am Rob Cesternino, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast here Monday night, Big Brother Canada. And we got to see Gino's nominations. Should be a pretty straightforward week here once again on a Monday night of Big Brother Canada. Of course, here to talk about it with us tonight, our panel. Let's welcome back our friend Matt Liguori. Matt, how are you?
I am good. I'm very sorry that Kirsten's not here with us tonight, because we have
always
a hot dummy on an island in power.
Yes.
Here in the Big Brother Canada house.
So, yes.
It was a fun episode. I'm excited.
Okay. Of course, here with us, not with the regular Matt that she's normally with podcasting. Of course, you can hear her as a co-host of the brand new True Crime Recap podcast called the Great Crime Scene, S-E-E-N. Please welcome in Mari Forth. Mari, how are you?
Hello. It looks like an investigation is afoot.
Yes.
Gino and Jace are trying to figure out what's going on, so I'm here to help.
Yes. Okay. Happy to have you here with us. Of course, we just talked about Bad Vegan over on Nothing But Netflix / the premiere of the Crime Scene podcast, and a man who is, not a vegan, but good. Yeah. Here's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. You said that you could identify all of the Big Brother Canada winners. Can you identify this season's winner?
Oh, it's good question.
Business B. Let's get it.
Business B. Maybe. Could be. Could be.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Check my draft board. Maybe I already did. Okay. All right. Here we are. Taking your questions here live. And of course, we'll update you on the live feed spoilers here and much more here on a Monday night of another busy week of Big Brother Canada. Okay. So Matt Liguori, Mari, we haven't gotten to check in with you yet here on the new season of Big Brother Canada. Mari, how are you feeling so far a couple of weeks in?
Every time I think this cast can do something that I don't you wouldn't expect them to do, they then like tap it. So it's like this season has been really good, but also really messy and really confusing. So it's like 10 out of 10 out of 10 for me. Like, if at least if you're gonna like strategize and it's bad strategy, I prefer that over nobody strategizing at all. Like,
oh,
I
certainly
love
yeah.
Yes, I love these self-interested players. I love that they have bad reads. And I love that people just keep making what seems like a very big mistakes.
Yeah. And Matt, how about for you?
I'm all in on this season. I feel like anytime that you get a pre-jury part of the phase that's memorable, I guess to say. I mean, it's definitely entertaining me as well, but anytime that it's memorable enough that when you're always going to remember the post-jury phase, you know, the winner, all that stuff. But when you can remember like all the details about what happens before jury starts, that's how you know that we're having fun. So that's what this cast is delivering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Taryn, this was, you know, a chaotic night. Even after a 9-2 vote, there was chaos.
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole segment of this episode that's dedicated to a ridiculous notion of the people who were left out of the vote thinking that they can't trust one another because they can't even be bothered to ask each other who they voted. Like, nobody is, like, normally, like, in Big Brother 20, there were all kinds of rogue votes being thrown. JC was like, the other JC was really trying to mix it up and convince people that different votes were coming from different places and people were lying. And who's the vote? Who flipped? All of this stuff. In this season, you have the same level of confusion and chaos, but everybody's perfectly willing to tell the truth. They just haven't even bothered to ask yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my favorite part of the episode early on was when JC Lynn is like asking about how could Kyle, you flipped the vote on me. You betrayed me. This was your master plan all along. He's like, no, I swear it wasn't that I got God. She's like, oh, yeah, right, right.
Oh, yeah, all right.
You
Kyle.
Weren't in on it. Yeah.
There's nothing more frustrating than that. Like being the Kyle in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
You're not lying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He really sucks at lying.
Really yeah. stuck at lying.
And then, oh, and man. Then, what does she say? What does she say? Like, do you even know what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, are you? Do you know what's going on right now?
No, I have no idea.
Do you know where you are right now?
No.
Yeah, and she's like, "What's the point of working with you guys?"
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
The whole point is that you're supposed to do everything for me, and now what just happened?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Nothing got done for me.
Mm-hmm.
I love you're a bad liar.
You suck at lying.
I need a montage. I need a montage of just Kyle standing and staring off to the distance.
Oh my god.
Every single shot of him just staring off. That was amazing. I love
the one in the kitchen with the slow pan back was just
I feel like when we get to the final round table of the season, I feel like there's a good chance you'll see Kyle at the bottom of the players ranked poll, followed by JC Lynn right above him. So these two being in the scene together was pretty on point.
Yeah, we got to see some more of Kyle's reactions to the HOH gone wrong. Taryn, how do you think he took it based on what we saw in the diary room?
I actually think this was spot on in terms of just like Kyle's ride here, right? Because we initially see him and he's emotional in the diary room. He's like, oh my God, this is so terrible. I can't believe what I've done. This is like, you really think you come in here to play a game, and I'm trying to remind myself of like what I came here for. And then later in the episode, Gino wins the HOH and he's talking to Marty and he's like, you know, I really feel, and he's talking that like, I've got an edge to me and I'm here. I've got an axe to grind with some people in this house now that I've got a little bit of power behind me again. And it's like, oh boy.
It's like you learned absolutely nothing. Like you learned nothing from that blind side.
Well, it was all Marty's fault.
Yeah. Just don't say that he betrayed anyone.
Mm-hmm.
That's no good.
Yeah, no, he doesn't like that. He doesn't like that very much.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk through some of the reactions. Herman comes out, wants to do some explaining to Gino. Mari, how do you think Herman is doing here, talking to the new HOH?
This was great. And this is what people allude. This is what we were alluding to, that what got alluded to like early, like that Friday and Saturday, was Herman straight up told Gino before the HOH, look, this is why I voted this way. You know, I still want to work with you. But he was so upfront and honest, and he was one of the first people to get to Gino. That really is what has carried him, you know, throughout this episode and throughout this week. I really love that we got to see a lot of Herman working, and it just shows you the differences between when Herman flips versus when Marty flips. And Marty can't go nowhere near Gino before or after HOH, can't look him in the eyes, just gives up and like, put me on the block. Like, I really love this from Herman, because you have to get in there first. Like, you have to get in the HOH ears first.
Yeah
I don't think this can be understated. I think that there's a very, very strong chance that Herman is the person that is evicted this week straight up if he doesn't do this. And we'll never know. And it seems like, oh, well, he wasn't an option for nomination here. So obviously, like, maybe it wasn't that big of a deal. So like, we'll never see just how close it could have been, but I really feel like this is the kind of thing, like Hermann had that hustle. There were so many people in the game at this time and still that would have loved to see Hermann go this week, that would have loved to throw him under the bus and get him on the block and send him home. And they all thought about trying it. Some of them did try it, but Hermann was the one that got in there first. He got in there early. And he did a great job in these conversations. And I really do think that he saved himself here. And he did a fantastic job of it.
I just want to ask one question. So, Taryn, most of what we saw here tonight, is this all stuff that wasn't from the feeds? This was all the pizza party that was all Thursday night?
The pizza party is Thursday night, but that's the only thing we didn't really see. We also didn't see some of the stuff pre-HOH. So that initial Hermann conversation, we did see a later one. But yeah, that initial Hermann conversation we didn't see. And then some of the other stuff between like Kyle and Hermann, we only saw talked about later.
Yeah. Matt, we saw Hermann talk to Kyle and explain to Kyle what went wrong on Kyle's HOH.
Yeah, and that was where it got even like funnier slash like way more tense, because when he gets to go off on Gino, like to Gino about Kyle, like he gets it all off his chest, like what he's been holding in for the entire week. And that kind of, I think, did a lot of work to you know, make Gino understand this isn't about you or JC Lynn. This is about, you know, what Kyle did. Kyle, you know, ruined my game and all this stuff. And I felt disrespected as a man. And that's where we're going to get Kyle entering the scene. And when Kyle hears him say that exact line, you hurt me as a man. He's like, whoa, 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 as a man, what the heck? Where did this all come from? I didn't know that this was the thing. What's going on here? Like, is everything okay? Kyle, obviously, I mean, Kyle was oblivious to everything in the past 7 days in the Big Brother Canada house, but especially, you know, the way that Hermann was opening up about his frustrations. So yeah, that was tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kyle was power drunk.
I think I would be a little confused if somebody was like Taryn, you podcasted at me and it hurt me like a man. I'd be like what? what does that mean? I think I'm sorry, but I don't know what you mean by that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Confusing. Yes. To say
you just mean a human in general, or is there something specific to being a man that I've done to you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Very effective, though, it seems like, at least for a second before Gino won HOH and Kyle went back to putting on his big britches again. But Kyle was shook. He was so shook. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
Please put that on loop.
But he does want payback.
Kyle, right?
Yeah, Kyle. Yeah.
Yes. But I think this episode did a good job of showing like Kyle wanted payback, but correct me if I'm wrong, Taryn, Kyle did not really approach Gino. Gino did his one-on-ones and then Kyle went like last or close to the end or something like that. So again, Taryn said it many a times, especially when you're doing these one-on-ones, you should always get into HOH's ear first. That way they have an idea going into these one-on-ones that normally stays solid, and then the one-on-ones might shift a lot, but you can't bring an idea at the end after they've already kind of solidified it in their head. So Kyle could have wanted all that he wanted out of it, but he made any type of move too late. And we see it in the episode when he finally tells Gino he think they should put up Hermann. Gino's already like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, and another great thing about going first is that it's very easy for you then to circle back around and be like, I'm also going to be last. Mm-hmm. It's like when there's a pizza, if you're the first person to take a slice, then you're going to have an easier time getting a second slice, because the people who took a slice last are going to be like, I'm not going to take two slices in a row. It's like, oh, well, I haven't had a slice in forever.
Right, exactly. It's like, there's been some time between the last time I went up to the pizza box. I can go grab another slice now, exactly. And nobody's going to think twice about it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Like, it's like that second slice, now that I went first, like, that's my slice. Like, nobody else should touch it.
Pizza swipers, gotcha.
Okay. Gotta think about your pizza. But yeah, Kyle would have liked for Gino to take a shot at Hermann, but he was really still kind of reeling from the whole thing. He does try it eventually, but by then it's too late. Hermann has gotten to Gino.
Okay. We go and flash back to the HOH competition. Gino ends up winning. Good for Gino to win a mental competition here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you guessed on every question, Rob.
Yeah, such a good guesser. Well, you know what? I'm a little bit more comfortable with Gino answering the questions, guessing or not, than asking the questions. We'll get there. We see, Josh and Jess are talking. Maybe Gino put up Kyle this week.
Let's
make a note on that. Okay. All right. We see Gino and Herman talking about what happened with Marty here. What's going on? What's going on with Marty from this last week?
Yeah.
You watch the light bulbs slowly fade into brightness.
Yeah, exactly. This was another thing that Herman did. He pointed out to Gino, like, J.C. Lynn is that second vote here, because Gino was convinced that Marty would never flip. And honestly, I still get logically why when he lays out the reason, I understand why he flipped, but I still don't understand why he didn't just try and reassure Josh that he was with him, but again say, I'm gonna vote with the guys just in case. He was saying it all week and he was still kind of like flippy floppy on it, but I just don't understand why he needed to do it if he knew Josh was gonna stay. I mean I get it, but I just, it's a precarious situation he really put himself in, and he deserves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to like get inside of Marty's head, and what he's saying this week too is, which is like, He did really care a lot about that speech, and I'm sure we'll get to that. But one of the reasons why is because he really cares about how he's portrayed on the show. He was voted Canada's favorite. He was saved last week. He really wants to maintain that reputation of a solid, loyal player. And he doesn't want to seem like he's a rat. He doesn't want to be somebody that's playing both sides of the house. He wants to be a loyal soldier to his side. And so the idea of like, I'm with you, but I'm secretly still pretending to be with them. Like, he doesn't want any part of that, really.
That's true.
At least at this point, right? So he felt like he needed to make a statement. He needed to go over to the other side. He felt like he couldn't keep pretending with them when he didn't really feel like he was with them. He needed to take that bold step. But, I say that, but like, I say again, I think he cares more about the perception of it than the reality of it. I think that matters in terms of where Marty might go in the future.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to see Kyle talk to Marty. And when I said that, Kyle was looking for vengeance, this is probably more the right spot where we should be talking about that, because he, says, like, the whole reason I tried to put Josh on the block was use your idea, Marty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Why didn't he? I feel like Kyle should have banged that drum like a little bit harder, because it is very true. I mean, I know Josh already knew, but still, but I guess they were still, they still trusted Marty. Like, after all that, they still trusted Marty. But I like that notion that Marty basically signed up for like a floater position, but doesn't want to play that floater type of game. You know, like, it's like he threw away his whole alliance to like, make a move. And now he's like, he says, I'm not going to go up there to Gino. I'm not going to go back and forth. I'm like, that is kind of the game you are in right this very second. But okay. Because all of his allies are floaters and all of his allies plan to do that. So how is he going to be the rock?
And that's who he's shading all of them. He's like, I don't want to be like the rest of these people that are playing the game with this floating strategy. That's terrible. No, I traded to the other side and I'm going to stick with that side. There's no way I'm going back. Why would I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think for Kyle too, when it comes to Marty, Marty is the guy. Kyle on night one of the feed said, like, this guy is the most loyal guy you'll ever have in this game. He will cut his own arm off before he betrays his allies. And so Kyle is having to like reconcile with the fact that like, either he was wrong in his assessment of Marty, or B, he really was so bad that he turned away this guy, right? And so neither of those things sound great to him, which means he's gonna try to go for option C, which is, it's all Marty's fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He says, he was made out to be an idiot. And he said, I didn't think it would be you, Marty. I never thought it would be you to betray me.
Ed 2, Marty.
Mm-hmm.
Ed 2.
Out of all the people, it was you, Marty. Okay. All right. We see Gino and Kyle, finally be, talking, with, JC Lynn is going to come through. Life is good for Gino. He's excited.
There's like three brain cells in that room. Mm-hmm. And I think they're all in Gino's head because Herman told him what was happening. Mm-hmm.
Can I just say, like, rough. This whole, the whole situation with Jace, right? Where she thinks that, I mean, initially she thinks that Kyle has orchestrated this whole thing. And when he tries to deny it, she says again,
"You really suck at lying."
When he's not lying, talks about, like, I just hate that I'm being made to look like an idiot. I am not an idiot. You will not manipulate me. I am not going to look like an idiot in this episode. I'm going to root for Betty in the HOH competition because I know Gino screwed me. And I know Kyle orchestrated this whole thing. Nobody's going to make me look like an idiot. And if she had just said nothing, nobody would have thought she was an idiot. Everyone was focused on Kyle. She wouldn't have even been in the episode. But instead, mm-hmm. she's all over the episode saying, "I'm not an idiot. I know they betrayed me," and she's wrong. And now she looks like the biggest idiot.
Maybe second. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but right up there. Close. It's close.
I can see an argument.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because Kyle was the idiot last episode. This one, I don't know. JC's looking. Yeah. The fact that like it takes till halfway through the episode for JC Lynn and Gino to get back on the same literal seat together and realize there was like trust broken.
And after he won HOH, he like asked to talk to her and she's like, "Oh, I'll talk to you
later." Yeah, we'll talk after this.
Later, not now.
Your man just won HOH.
Like, question. Hey, how'd you vote?
Oh mm-hmm. my gosh. One question, get in his ear, tell him who you want to go. She was just so confused. She didn't know. She
was probably planning what she was going to wear as she got put on the block a couple hours later. I assume like, that's what she had going.
Yeah, like she found like a long hair in the house and she packed the whole place up and was already at her parents' house by the time he got home. She like ready. Not a word. It was just a dog hair.
Like, what are you, fight, Taryn? What is going on?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we're going to get to Gino's HOH room reveal. They always put like such a random moment before the HOH room reveal. I think is Kevin walking around asking, "Is this oil or gravy?" Boy, I've never asked that once in my entire life.
Well, so he knew it was gravy. He was bringing it to Tanisha, who was like, "Oh, is that oil?" And he was like, "No, it's gravy." And he was like, "What do I do with it?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This moment was so funny because I was like, "Why is this here?" And my friend was like, "Oh, I think it was just because it was right before Gino's HOH." I was like, "But they added a second camera angle." Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like when he first came over to talk to Tanisha and Betty, he asked the question and then Betty said, "Oh, Kevin," they cut to the Betty angle to get Betty's reaction to Kevin to then cut back to the angle with Gino coming down. So I'm like, this is intentional.
It is intentional. What? They always do like a really random moment right before the HOH reveal. Last week and the week before, it was also like something like, where is this going? And then like, that's going to be the HOH. All right. So Gino gets a bunch of stuff in his HOH basket, pictures. What is that?
He's so cute.
It's the dog.
Yeah, cute mm-hmm. dog. And of course, Gino gets his nightlight.
Yeah. And it's like, this is news to Tanisha. The only person, because he's talked about it before. And she's like, "What? A grown man like Gino has a nightlight?"
Yeah.
Like, the dark isn't afraid of him. He's afraid of the dark. It doesn't matter.
Tanisha, nobody else cares. Like, why are you like this?
She was like, if I'm possibly going on the block, I'm going to make sure this guy looks like a baby before I let him put it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've dealt with some definitely squirmy babies.
Mm. Yeah. Some squirmy babies.
Yeah. So if you can have a nightlight in the Big Brother house, why do they make it so dark? Why do they make it so, you know, Chris Kattan can't even see his way to get out of a room? Like, I thought that the rooms have to be pitch black for cameras. Like, I thought it has to do, like, the infrared.
It's funny because they, like, the lights during the daytime are so bright.
So bright, yeah.
They just have to go the complete opposite at nighttime and just make it pitch black.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one way or the other.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like they have, like, natural light sources. So, you know, like... Unless it is a genuine nightlight.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, there's no windows.
Okay. All right. Gino is going to get a new look from Winners. What do we think of Gino's new fit?
I wasn't paying attention. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I don't even know what they're like doing. It was just like a hoodie.
Yeah. I'm not, you know, Mr. Fashion, but I didn't like it.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was a great look.
I mean, Gino would look good in anything, so there's that.
Look at anything, but it was like, okay, yeah, we've got Gino. Let's put him in a baggy sweatshirt and some sweatpants.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like the way that he normally dresses is fine. I just felt like I just wasn't into it.
Okay.
That's what I was about to say. I was like, I didn't even realize he changed.
Yeah, he just walked in and was like, "Hey, Mario was like, "Yeah, that's just Gina."
Yeah, it's Gina.
Like, sure.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Feast your eyes.
Yeah. I think that Winners just sent over like a box of clothes and they're just like pulling random things out. Like, all right, here's your outfit. There you go.
This is size here. Go.
Yeah, take it. Okay. All right. Pizza party.
Pizza party.
Get that first slice.
Because why?
Because then you can get your second one sooner.
No, I mean, why are they getting pizza parties? What did they do? What are they being rewarded for?
I don't even know why they included
a great
this.
Blindside.
Yeah, I don't know why they included this in the episode. Like, I'm sure it would have been fun to watch on the feeds, but like, because it wasn't on the feeds, they cut the feeds for these parties. But what did this do for us? It was like a 2-minute segment.
And then famously, you know, sometimes the things that happen at these parties is that the Big Brother Canada contestants get like very drunk. And then like crazy things happen.
Dude, Karen.
Yeah. And like, you know, and that adds something to the show, but it was just like, yeah, there was a party and things got a little weird and it was like super quick, like montage of like. I don't even know who was kissing. Yeah.
Moose and Marty kissing.
Moose and Marty.
I need more information.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like the talk about it afterward, like on the feeds, like, oh, these people kissed, these people made out. And it sounds a lot more dramatic than like the quick little like.
It's like quick.
Like like little things that we see in the episode.
Mm-hmm. And just like obviously the episode, like there was no context to any. Like I don't know if they were playing truth or dare, if they were playing any kind of like a drinking game. It was just I think Marty ran over, Moose is sitting in the hot tub, planted a kiss. Jess and Josh going for it. So
I mean, I think whoever does the first kiss, right? Like there's one kiss that happens, and it's not like a Jace Gino kiss. It's just like a whoa, two random people just kissed, and then that kind of opens the door to be like. Oh, now we're doing random people kisses. Hey, what do you think?
It opened, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Free game.
Yeah.
Just fair excuse, game. And, yeah.
You know, the same thing happened last season, right? With that it got to.
And every season.
Yeah, every season.
Every season.
And every season. Yeah.
I always think back to BB Can 3. I feel like that was that hot tub. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Never mind.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I was about to say another one too. I was like, I remember last year's.
It happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Again, once the floodgates get open, they realize that, you know, oh, I can just kiss them. They go for it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's start to talk about, okay, Gino's HOH is going to start to ask some questions to people. Okay. And so we're going to see. Is it Summer who first is going to come in to talk to Gino? Summer says that Kyle pooped on all of our games.
Yeah, no, hold on. What did she say? She said Kyle pooped. She said
Kyle pooped on everyone.
On everyone, really? Not their game. Yeah.
No, I think you added that part.
Oh, Rob. I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry. I think I probably cleaned it up a little bit.
Yeah, let's just listen to Kyle.
Kyle pooped on everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I guess, was that in a situation where there was no toilet paper and no clothes?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's why he asked the question. That's like, look, I'm friends with Kyle. I'm going to be in this situation a lot.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
We're going to hang out after this, advice. And all he's going to do is poop on me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That question.
All right. Well, we're not quite there yet. All right, let's just talk about Summer. Summer. Is ready to jump on the Gino bandwagon, like a lot of people.
She been there. Mm-hmm. I know Summer knows what she's doing. It was a good chat. It was a good chat because results oriented. But I just like that Summer went in there and commiserated with Gino at first. And then I love how she turned it. I was like, this is when I was watching this on the feed. I was like, whose HOH is this? Because Summer's like, in order for you to gain my trust back, this is what I need you to do. And I was laughing so hard. And he's like, you're right. Like, he's eating it up. I mean, I love Summer. I think I love her disposition. I love how she talks to people. I love how, like, she says what's on her mind, and in such a way that people respect her for it, while also not like feeling threatened by her. So I love Summer. Anytime she's on the feeds and on the show, I love that they showed this.
Very few people would get away with what Summer is doing here, but Summer is able to pull it off. She has a charisma to her that allows her to operate in modes that most people couldn't.
Yeah, you know the people that can just say anything to anyone at any time? That's Summer. Like, nobody, she can just, you know, smile and say whatever it is. Like, she saw Gino won, and probably, I mean, I don't think there was any position Summer would have been in a bad spot this week, but she knew she was fine and could say literally anything, and did say a lot of things, and, you know,
we'll get to the and she said,
Kyle pooped on everyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She didn't say that. Well, she actually didn't say.
I feel like
he did a lot of things, but
editing in that clip. Yeah, there, Karen.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think Mari, I almost forgot.
Mari, Mari,
you're allowed to lie.
Come on,
is this true?
Okay, so we're gonna see Kevin. Time to talk to Gino. Okay, Matt, what do you think about Kevin going to, as Barney Stinson once would say.
Yeah, that's not Kevin. I don't know what you're talking about.
Time
that's
to suit Kevin. Up. I mean, Andrew.
Andrew.
Yeah. Andrew. When I first saw a live feed update that said Andrew a couple days ago, I was like, where am I? What is going on?
Yes, it's a shout out to Big Brother Canada 1.
Right. I was like, is that who was at the Wendy's window? That's a great callback. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, I tweeted this, I think, yesterday. Kevin has just been wonderfully ridiculous. He has been almost like, if there's anyone that I feel like fits that Summer, what I just said about Summer, like, can get away with saying almost anything to anyone.
Except to an extent. Saying winter when he's asked about.
Except, he had a bad answer there for Gino's taste. But I don't know, like, I have a feeling that this is a strategy that he had planned before the game. But, like, you know, knowing he was going in, he's like, 1 week, I'm just gonna, you know, be so goofy and put on a suit and try to make, you know, I feel like this is a pre-planned thing. I would love to know from him after the season if that was the case or not, but I enjoyed it. I don't know if everybody did. I liked it. It was funny.
Yeah. Do the players, like, bring a suit? Like, I know on finale night, especially Big Brother Canada, yeah, do you come in with a finale night suit, or do they help you get a suit for finale night?
I just wonder, like, did he come in with the suit? What was he wearing on opening night?
That's a good question. I don't know. Did the...
Because they usually dress him up, and I wouldn't be surprised if he was wearing the suit.
Like, depends. Are Ika and Gary coming in, or are we just, you know, rolling?
Yeah. Okay.
This was funny. Like, Kevin is so funny. Like, I wanted to, like, not like Kevin, because I always try to root it against his archetype, because that's just me. But he is so funny in a different way. He's strategic. He is that archetype, but there's a layer of the humor, and he can actually connect to people in different ways. So it's elevated form. And so as much as I'd be like, oh, Kevin, when I really like him, I begrudge that I like him. That's why. And just because I'm always prepared to root against the Thieves. No offense, Steve. this is the first one that they showed. He's done so many other like type of funny skits on the live feed. So I hope he gets more of this. Maybe when more people leave, we'll get more of his little skits and stuff.
He's very disarming. He's very very, very easily makes you kind of let your guard down and just talk to him about whatever you want to talk to him about. And he makes you feel comfortable. He makes you feel like he's not a threat, which I think people at this point know he's a better player and smarter than, you know, he was letting on the first couple of weeks, but he's still doing a good job with all of it.
So he's making Gino laugh. Okay, so then Jess comes in to talk to Gino. And we've seen Jess in the first couple of weeks have a surprising amount of success. For somebody who has been kind of talked about as like an easy person to get out, Jess has done a good job in these competitions, talking with the HOH, getting to the HOH early. Doesn't seem like they got to the HOH as early this time around as they did in the past. And Jess is going to get a barrage of questions from Gino.
Yeah. It's tough for Jess because you can only do the same trick so many times, right? Like, they did it with Marty, then they did it with Kyle, and then they turned their back on Kyle and Marty. And so trying to do it a third time in a row with Gino is kind of like, Gino is like, they're good at this. I don't think there's anything Jess could have said here to convince Gino that to trust them or to work with them, because the actions of what had happened in the past were just, it was too much. That card had been played too often.
Now, is it possible that Jess had the wrong answer to Gino's question?
Oh, no.
They did.
Not this. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We know this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, which question was wrong?
Okay.
The last
All right.
One?
Well, yeah. If you were at your house in the bathroom and after a BM.
Number two.
Okay.
Number two.
Sure. You had no toilet paper and no clothes. Why? How no clothes, Mari? What happened to your clothes?
You're just naked.
And what would change if you did have clothes? Would the answer be just get dressed?
Yeah, you can't leave. You can't leave the bathroom is a criteria.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You took all your clothes off before you did the BM.
Yeah,
because naturally.
I saw this happen on a Euphoria episode one time. Yeah.
Their answer was they would use their hand and then a lot of soap afterwards.
17 times,
Rob, it may surprise you to hear, despite what the episode was portraying, that Gino asked this question
to every
person he talked to. Yeah, every single person.
Okay.
And he, there was a correct answer and an incorrect answer that basically, the using your hand or a towel or anything like that, no points for that. I would take a shower. Yes, good answer. 1 point for that. I have a bidet. Ding, ding, ding. 2 points. That's the best answer. You use a bidet. That's the great way to go. And Jess actually said after the hand thing, oh, or I would get a bidet. And he was like, oh, but do you have one?
Right.
And they were like, oh, well, no, not, but we want one. And he was like, nope, no points.
What is Gino work for Big Bidet? What's his problem? Why is he like this?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I like that he denied Jess extra points, though, because he knew he wanted to put them up. So he was like, no, even though you got it, because you don't own a bidet, you're still wrong. It's like what if you had two apples and then you got three more apples, how many apples would you have? Five apples. But do you have five apples? Well, no. Nope. Incorrect then.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Do you think the doors at Gino's house, like the bathroom at Gino's house, locks from the outside? Like, do people lock Gino in the bathroom and he can't get out? Because that's not how bathroom doors work. So he's like, this must have happened before, right? So he sat down in the bathroom. no clothes, needed toilet paper, and the door was locked and he couldn't get out.
This might be fire department hijinks.
One of the specific things he said was, you're at your home.
Sometimes you have to sleep at the fire station, Taryn. Somebody's going to work the night shift.
That's not his home. He said, you're at home.
It's like a
you're
second
naked
home.
In a bathroom. You can't leave your own bathroom naked. Like, why not?
That's a great point.
Yeah.
You could walk your way to the shower without having wiped. You could walk closet and get a roll of toilet paper. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's not that much farther.
Did he say the door was locked or something like that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
what kind of bathroom can you not get out of?
Exactly. It's locked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The answer so should have been... Here.
I would have gone on the block. I would have questioned the question and been like, this is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm on the block now.
I mean, I feel like look, public bathroom, you're not naked, but there's no toilet paper. What do you do? That's way trickier.
Yeah.
Mm, okay. Public bathroom. Okay. Public bathroom, yeah.
Like, hey, all that said, though.
Knock, knock.
Rob, what's your answer to this question?
Well, now I know the right answer.
Well, but do you own a bidet? What would you do?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the right answer. Yeah, we do have one here.
Boom.
Yeah,
I'm glad I don't have to send you one too.
Okay. All right. Okay. Like, do you see? Yeah, you send them out.
I sent one to Jacob. I know you Jones owe one to Jacob. Birthday.
Yeah. Wow.
I could see Jacob Jones asking this question to people. I feel like this is like a Jacob Jones interview question. Yeah.
Well, now that he's hopefully become a bidet person, he'll hopefully also be, on his high horse about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, I hope you got him a heater.
One.
Yeah. All right. So, we see T is going to have a conversation with Gina after T gets to sit with Andrew in the waiting room. Before they go in.
That was funny.
Yeah. She talks with Gino, and she's just not a huge threat right now, Gino. Don't worry about me.
And then he gives her a question that, like, completely, it obviously wasn't the sole reason why, you know, she doesn't end up on the block, but didn't help or didn't hurt her case to, you know, drop a little bit of sympathy, a little bit of like personal story there on Gino that made Gino jump over to the couch to try to comfort her. So he definitely gave her a bit of an assist there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is another one. He asked everyone, why do you deserve to be here? As far as I'm aware, his favorite answer was Moose, who was just kind of like, this is what I want to do. I'm here for exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Moose said it in a much better way than that, but that was essentially what it was. And he was like, Moose gets 2 points. You get 2 points for that. That was the best answer.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people did like immediately have a lot of things to talk about when in terms of like why they're there and why they deserve to be there. A lot of them talked about representation. Tanisha talked about her kid. It definitely, I don't hate the question overall, considering the emotional responses, and expressing emotion to somebody is a great way, or having somebody express emotion to you is a great way to bond the two of you together. So I do like it. I think that I wish Gino had been doing more conversations, getting more information, making more game relationships. But in terms of these questions, this is definitely the best one. I mean, obviously the toilet one is really good too, but this one is probably the best.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Taryn, would you say, was this Kylan-esque to like sort of have a day of everybody has a meeting mm-hmm. with the HOH and questions?
Very much so. Yeah. And similar to Kylan, it took place right after a very chaotic HOH week with somebody who was like, okay, I need to be the opposite of that. Very structured, same questions, same story to everyone. We've been seeing a lot of these lately, and they can be effective in some ways. I think there's some value here. I don't think that it's entirely what you want to do. I think there are other things you should be doing as well, but there's definitely some value to this if this is the kind of way you want to operate on your HOH.
Do you think that we could see more of this moving forward? Because I feel like that after Kylan did it, after Frenchie's HOH, I do feel like that kind of became the norm for HOHs to be doing in BB23.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I think Marty is actually the one that started it this season. And we do know that Marty watches the U.S., so he might have gotten it from Kylan for all we know.
Oh.
But yeah, I mean, because Marty had a similar thing, didn't ask the same questions, but he gave the same exact spiel to everyone. And a lot of people did say to Gina, we really appreciate how you're doing this HOH after everything that Kyle put us through, which is exactly what happened with Kylan. So it would not surprise me at all.
Okay. Let's talk Wendy's. Felt like we kind of yada yada the Wendy's a little bit this week. I didn't even get the order down. It happened so fast. Somebody got a Dave's Double.
Dave's Double, yep. I think that was the only thing we really saw. Oh, and they subbed out the fries for poutine.
Okay. Didn't even know you could do that.
Yes. I don't know why you would do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to see Josh go to Wendy's with Gino. Not before Gino gets to go pick up the Wendy's that we're doing a great job. We're bringing in all of the Big Brother winners. And that it's the Big Brother Canada 3 winner, Sarah Hanlon. Now, Gino says, I don't know her. In fairness, she has kind of a new look, would you say? Just burp.
She's dyed her hair, yes.
Yeah, took me off guard. I was like, Luke Skywalker? Yeah. What?
No, yeah, I mean, she's brunette now and has no glasses. Yeah.
It was definitely a lurk. Yeah, I was talking agree. About
Fitz
I agree.
Earlier. This guy is hip.
Mm-hmm. I think it's been kind of cool that like the winners so far with the HOHs have kind of like matched up a little bit. Like Gino just being blindsided, basically finding himself like him and two other people are the only people he can trust. He gets Sarah Hanlon, somebody who had to, you know, fight and claw her way to win. And she gives him really good advice. And it just, I think Gino took, he at least took her advice better than Kyle took.
This John is so Party. Rude to John Party.
I mean, John Party's advice is great. Kyle just didn't listen to it.
Yeah.
At all. Yeah. He did the opposite. He said, hold up, let me do the opposite.
And real quick, shout out to Sarah Hanlon, who, you know, hung out with us when we were in Toronto for when we came up for the RHAP Know-It-Alls in 2017. So shout out to our old friend, Sarah.
You had to be there.
Love Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, came to the bar with us. It was a fun night.
Yes. I was prepared to come on the podcast and be like, I know it seemed like Gino knew who Sarah was, but it's a fun fact. He was actually pretending. They were pretending on the episode that he knew who she was. I was like streaming on the episode. I was like, oh, this is going to be funny because he didn't actually know who she was. And then straight up, they leaned right into it. He was like, oh. Yeah.
Well, I think that's kind of interesting because were they protecting the other, you know, the past players? Like, did Kyle know who John Party was? Like, what? Like, why did they throw Gino under the bus?
Survivors that, like, on season 39, not to go there, that, like, didn't know who Rob and Sandra were. There was, like, one or two of them that were like, oh, you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, oh, my God.
Maybe they wanted to protect Kyle. If Kyle didn't know John Party, maybe they wanted to protect him since he's all about, I love this game.
Yeah.
I breathe this game. Maybe they wanted to protect that.
Yeah, and perhaps also that Kyle fake that he knew where Gino is like, I don't know what that is.
You're like, cool. Thanks. Thanks, lady.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
I really wanted for, because Sarah was saying, like, giving advice, like, you know, trust your gut. So that, and then most importantly, in my head, I was like, don't put up your allies. Most importantly, don't put up your allies. Because, like, I feel like, The advice that's being given from these winners is just a little too like higher level. Like, it's a little too high of a level of strategy for the players that is that are receiving the advice right now. I feel like they really need to just go basic. Like, okay, you're HOH. So here's what you do. You don't put up the people that you're working with, and you do put up the people that you're not working with. You don't tell a ton of people that you want to put them up and then don't put them up. Like very basic things. All three of the HOHs that we've seen on the feeds could have used this advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder, and these aren't like personalized, like the family messages. These are probably recorded like way in advance, right? Hey, third HOH, right. You're here.
Well, she did say Gino's name.
Did she say
times.
Gino?
I don't think we like watching you, but I don't think they could. I don't feel like they would let them watch and then give them advice. Like, that's not fair.
Yeah, I mean, it's not actually like specific advice to their games, obviously, but I do think they're,
she said Gino.
They're recording
okay,
them.
Chances,
yeah, I think they're recording them like the night of the
HOH. Do we get both brothers next week or do we get one?
Yeah, Matt, what are the Pax brothers going to say?
Because I don't think they like, live together or anything.
I mean, hopefully the Pax brothers give the, because we might need this. Hey, don't try to nominate yourself.
Don't do it.
Be in a position.
We know from experience.
Like, next week, you know, she's like looking at all of the great HOHs that have come in the weeks before her, and you know.
And if you do just, it, are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure you want to do that? Yeah. Okay.
We apparently we're spoiling the winners for the chat. I'm just like, I knew who won season 3 when I watched it, and it was a great watch.
You literally cannot watch Big Brother Canada without.
Yeah.
If you plan on continuing to watch this season, guess what? You will continue to be spoiled every single week.
Don't watch season 4, y'all. Don't watch season 4.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be my advice.
What, is that the worst season, Mari?
I did not like that season. Mm-hmm. And I didn't watch it.
Some iconic characters, though.
Great first half. Okay.
Watch season 5. Like, I feel like...
Do that, too. Let me do that first.
Okay. All right. So after Wendy's, we start to get a little bit of Betty and Kevin. And what a nice story this has turned out to be. Because Betty... Who just but 2 weeks ago hated Kevin's guts, would not talk to him, will never be ready to talk to him. All of a sudden, boy, Kevin is growing on Betty.
Let's not get too attached to this because this is exactly what happened last week where she got mad at him post-veto ceremony, then was like, you know what? Kevin's not that bad. And they started to rekindle their relationship because she was campaigning to him because she thought she was going to end up on the block last week. And then by the, you know, by the end of the week, it felt like they were okay again. And then right after the veto ceremony last week, she was mad at him again. So we'll see if this lasts, but this is actually, I think, partly a result of Kevin's lawyer shtick. That really was very successful, not only with Gino, but with the rest of the house. A lot of them were very endeared toward him. Overall, they've been waiting for him to come out of his shell. They're like, oh my God, he's actually so funny. He's taken improv classes, and it's so fun to watch him do this. Marty was like loving it and singing Kevin's praises. And so he is definitely, you know, in part due to things like that, ingratiating himself with a lot of the players in the game, including people like Tanisha and Betty, and, you know, people that he previously didn't have great relationships with.
Yeah. This was a nice chat.
Bevan for final 2. I'm feeling it. I think it's so cute.
No, that doesn't include Summer. I can't accept that.
This is true. Ah, that's right. Mm-hmm, Bevan for final 3. But yeah, I love this type of like feel good story. They literally might spend all season going back and forth, like hating each other and then liking each other, then hating each other and liking each other. Honestly, I think that's if they do that, they might make it further.
Well,
we could only be so lucky.
Yeah, Brian Scally tweeted earlier tonight that it was like a Kevin Martin and Karen vibe.
Oh
yeah.
Again, we could only be so lucky.
Good point, yeah. Scally. Yeah.
Recreate that kind of magic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So after they talk, Betty and Kevin, we get some Marty talk. Okay. Marty is really hard on himself. Can't even look at Gino in the eyes anymore after what he did.
Yeah.
He 110% understands that he 110% is going to be going on the block and he 110% is okay with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He does the most annoying thing that's like, oh, well, that person won. Guess I'm just screwed. I mean, I can't go and talk to them and be nice. Right. Like, that would be fake. I'm not like all these other people playing the game. Come on. Yeah. That's not what I would do.
Hello.
I am here to play Big Brother.
You literally, you said you're here to play Big Brother. Now, what's the issue, sir?
Yeah,
with playing Big Brother.
You're allowed to lie.
You were here.
Play the game.
Yeah. Before the season, he advertised himself as the Marty Party. Welcome to the Marty Party. And I feel like I've been lied to. Like, there's no party.
It's a pity party.
Yeah.
Yeah, a big pity party. And I'm not with it.
Yeah. Taryn, do you think Marty talked his way onto the block, or I guess lack of talked his way onto the block?
I think that by not talking to Gino, he allowed Gino to go, yeah, this is a good idea. If he had talked to Gino right away and been like, please don't put me on the block, I think there's a very good chance that Gino doesn't do it. Especially considering sort of like what we know about how Gino views the week and the speech that he gives and all of that. If Marty had really been like, no, please don't do this. I swear to you, blah, 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 blah. You know, if he had done what Herman did, I think he's probably not going up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He wanted to go up. He wanted to accept the consequences for his actions and betray
to be punished
his people. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I mean, he's a hockey coach. He wanted to take the penalty. He wanted to go to the penalty box and serve his 2 minutes and
right.
get back onto the field.
I mean,
under the ice.
How much of this is Marty? Hey, I want to be in the veto so I can control my own fate. I can't be backdoored.
That's way too much credit.
Okay.
Yeah. Just about as much credit as Jace gave Kyle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Marty is basically even telling Gino that, you know, if, you know, put me up.
Put me up, coach.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. We get some of Summer and Herman planning about how, you know, things are going very well. So far, so good. Yeah. Marty's going up on the block. They say that when Gino asked, who do you think should go on the block? They said Marty because they thought it was a trick question.
Yeah. Who shouldn't go
like, oops.
I liked this too. They were like, we said Marty because we were like, figured he liked Marty the most and we wanted to ingratiate mm-hmm. ourselves with him. And Tanisha was like, oh, that's really smart.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember who Tanisha said at all, Taryn?
You know what? I'm sure she said Summer. I'm sure she said Summer. And she might have said someone else, but I don't have my notes in front of me.
And I know we're backtracking. Right. Why did Kevin say Summer and Tanisha?
I think he meant it. Kevin has been trying to work with Summer and Tanisha a bit. A little bit less so Tanisha, but recently their relationship has been developing. And I think that, you know, I think like Kevin was really trying to pitch us like a specific direction. He just wanted to make sure that the blame was on Jess as much as possible. And that, that Kyle did not trust, or sorry, that, that Gino did not trust, Herman and them. And he also knows that Gino's close to Summer. That was another part of the conversation that they had, that like, I know you're close to Summer. And so we wanted to help use that connection with him as well. Like I know that Summer's on the other side of the house, but I know you're close to her and I'm actually close to her too. And so like, if you wanted to bridge that gap, like I'm with you on that. And so it was, like a lot of what Kevin was doing was very, strategically focused. And I think maybe a lot of it was lost on Gino, but I thought it was very, well put together. His whole thing.
Yep. Sorry to backtrack there, Rob.
Okay. No, it's all good. All right. We're going to see, one more, chat. Gino and Kyle are going to talk, about, you know, what should these nominations be? Okay. Kyle's going to throw, what about Herman? Herman on the block. Anything?
You know what they call him?
I'm not called Stir the Pot Poppy for no reason.
He's stirring the pot.
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A little late.
So Marty is definitely going up.
She was making that pitch. It wasn't on the episode, but mm-hmm. all these pitches for Herman to go up, and it wasn't an option. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
So again, he saved himself.
I feel like that Jess as the second nominee is kind of a blindside as far as like the episode is concerned, that I feel like that we just saw that one conversation with Jess and Gino. Really, it was just about the bathroom competition. Jess
they
is
got,
not.
They got the answer wrong. The summer winter question. That was it.
Jess got that wrong too.
Yeah, it was. Where do you want right or no?
That was Kevin.
Kevin got that one wrong. Yeah, I think Jess got that one right.
Yeah, and then Jess really doesn't come up much in conversation at all again. And here's Jess on the block.
This is unfortunately for the editors, like not really their fault, because wasn't really talked about much until Gino finally said, and the person next to Marty, Jess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Based on this conversation, it sounded like it was going to be Tanisha.
It was almost Tanisha. It was close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But here we go. Kyle's nominations. I'm sorry. Gino's nominations. Sorry about that.
Kyle works too.
Yeah. So
Kyle's still on the brain.
It's Marty and it's Jess. Mm-hmm. On the block.
Yeah. And Marty all we got first. All we got about it was just like Jay saying, oh, if you throw up tea, that might be a big move. And do we want to make big moves now? And it's just very interesting, the dynamic of where they think the power lies.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Marty definitely just struck me as a second reveal rather than the first one. Usually it's like, you know, the person that is less expected to go up would be announced second. But he was ready. Yeah, Marty was ready to go up. Gina was ready to put him up. The house was ready to see him up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Marty was the one that was the more sure thing. He was the one that was told first and everything. So, he goes up first, and we heard a lot about this speech from Marty. We certainly did in the episode. We heard a lot of it on the feeds as well. How dare he say those things to us? Say these things to me. And Gino had said ahead of time that he planned on really drilling Marty with his speech. He was really going to hit home with him. He's going to, if for optics, it's going to look great. I'm going to be like, hey, this is what happens when you turn your back on me in the game. You get this kind of speech. And so when the speech happened, I was like, wait, what was the speech? I think I just missed it because.
But what Tara, was isn't it? That every single I'm time glad. That we hear about a speech in a nomination ceremony or veto
a
ceremony?
A lot of the time. Yeah. I mean, that one time Todrick did have that speech, it was actually a lot more.
Say that name.
I'm so glad I wasn't the only one. I was like, I was really like, wait, where's the speech? Did I miss the speech? What happened to the speech? Mm-hmm. I was so confused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So those are our nominations.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We've got questions from the listeners. And then, of course, we'll talk about what's coming up on the live feeds. Let's see. How many of these questions can we answer without getting into spoilers? Okay. PK says, it's my first time watching Big Brother Canada. Do they always tell people that they are noms or replacements ahead of time? Wouldn't it be better to not let them know ahead of time? I feel like in BBUS, we get into like the really like minutia in like the in the rule book. It says you're not allowed to tell a person that they're nominated. And then when it's like a fan favorite gets nominated, it's like sign this change.org petition to reverse the nominations because they told them they were going on the block.
Yeah. I mean, I believe that's a rule for Big Brother Canada as well. It's not something that people ever follow. It doesn't really make sense why it's a rule if they're not going to enforce it in any way. I genuinely think that they should just like a little bit enforce it. They should try to encourage the reason that it doesn't happen often enough is that it's not usually a good idea to blindside somebody. It's just extra hurt. You're kicking them while they're down. They're already going up. There's nothing they can do to change it. You're the one that makes the decision. And so unless you're trying to stop them from being able to convince you from making the decision, there's nothing that can happen by telling them ahead of time. So most people do it. But sometimes they don't, like we saw with Marty and Betty. And then Betty's super pissed at Marty. Like, why didn't you at least give me a heads up, right? But if it was, because like things change in the game based on like trends and sort of just like the general philosophy of what the game is supposed to be. And if they really just put it into the culture of the game that like, you just don't tell people ahead of time. Like that's just the norm. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows. It's always a blindside. Then people would feel a lot more comfortable doing it. I think, hey, this is just part of the game. This is, you just don't tell people. I think it's doable if they really tried to,
how
like,
do you enforce that
culture into the game. I don't think you can enforce it. I think it's too difficult a rule to enforce. I think you just need to change the culture. Like Survivor has changed the culture into like, it's big moves. Where's your resume? What seat are you in the car? Like you just need to like say the things over and over until people are just like, this is what you do. You just don't tell people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now I think about it, in BBUS, it doesn't feel like they tell people like that. It feels like they always do the vague, like, oh, we'll see. You know, I can't. I feel like they even use the rule in Big Brother US to be like, you know, I can't really say.
Yes, I can't say. I can't say right now. They almost always, though, like, or, yeah, like, you know. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you ended up sitting up there on the stage.
Yeah. Go win that veto. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This is from Future Pawn Star, Being nominated twice in pre-jury is normally not a good sign. Is there a way out of this for Jess, or are they destined to see the block a lot?
I think they'll be on the block a lot. Unfortunately, but also, I mean, well, it's probably no upside here, just because at some point when there isn't the big target potentially next to you, or a big target potentially next to you, it very easily could be you at any given time. You know, that 50-50 chance is never something you want to risk.
Yeah, I mean, what's the success story of somebody that goes on the block? Is it Steve? Is that the best case scenario?
But Steve didn't even go up that much. Like, Steve was up early, then he won a veto, and then he wasn't really up as much anymore. And that's kind of what almost happened with Jess, right? Like, they won that veto, and it bought them a couple of weeks of, like, we don't want to put them up if they're just going to come right off the block, and they're going to be winning competitions and winning HOHs. And so people were a little bit worried about putting them up on the block. I think coming, you know, going up on the block this time, they need to win this veto again to reset that perception. Because if they don't win this veto, then, and they end up as a pawn or even going home, right? If they end up going home, then there's no hope. But even if they just end up on the block and stay on the block, then I think this might, you know, really reinforce, okay, they are the pawn of the season. We can put them up on the block. And the same thing happened with Betty when Betty went up on the block and didn't win the veto and hasn't won anything. A lot of people look at Betty as an easy pawn as well. And so these are going to be names that are floating around. The only way to get out of it is to win those vetoes so that people don't want to use you as a pawn.
Okay.
Yeah. And more spoilers for BB Can 3. It makes me think of Brittany on BB Can 3 and how she made it to 4 by winning.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bring back Gandia. That's a good idea. Will Kevin and Betty make final two together? And do we see it realistically happening? I mean, we had that great scene tonight. They're both players that are kind of on the bottom. I think that what they probably need to do is like form a group.
Yes. Yes. And that would not surprise me considering the direction that the game is heading in right now. I think I would have to ask Mari. Yes. You like Kevin, but you're not predisposed to liking Kevin. If Kevin offered you a final two in a game of Big Brother, would you ever accept it and be loyal to it? Or would you always be like, nah, I'd rather go with someone else?
No, I would not be loyal to it unless I'm forced to. It would definitely be like a June and Allison type situation. It's like, well, we're here. We want to pick all these other people off. We might as well just join forces and get it done. And, you know, if the war happens and, you know, Summer, Tanisha, Herman get picked off, and then, or, you know, for Kevin's side, like Helena, Marty, Josh get picked off. Anything can happen. This is a very fluid game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, also, think about who we're talking about being Betty. Like, I feel like each HOH, when they win each week, it's like, okay, so Betty's probably going to be on the block unless I have a better idea. And then by the time the week goes on, they decide that other people should go on the block instead of Betty. So, you know, Jess ends up on the block, but in everybody's heads, Betty's always on the block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just feel like I feel like Betty has a very similar mentality about Kevin's archetype as Mari does. And I feel like they're like... Like Mari said, unless like almost everyone else is gone, like there's always going to be another person that Betty likes more and would rather go to the end with than Kevin. Yeah. I think she's willing to work with Kevin in a group setting, as was talked about. But as a final two partner, it would be at best in name only.
Mm-hmm. Just wait till Kevin wins an HOH and Betty is up in that room the entire time making,
in a
look
suit,
at all those pictures.
Right,
yeah. Oh my God, you are going to be such a good dad. Mm-hmm.
I want to see one of them win HOH and just not put the other one up. Because a week ago, Betty said, oh, I'm going to pet up Kevin. I'm going to backdoor Kevin. I don't think she would. That would be funny. That'd be funny for me.
All right. Let's get into some spoilers here for the Big Brother Canada week. Anything else from this episode before we move on? Okay. All right. Interesting stuff happening in the Big Brother house. Let's talk about that when we talk about our spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
All right. Spoiler time. All right. All right. So, Marty.
That was intense from Taryn.
Yes. Like, Marty was down and out, Taryn.
Mm.
But keep hope alive for Marty, right?
Yes, we had a veto competition, and Marty.
Power of veto, baby!
He won the veto.
Yep.
He won it. Taking himself off the block. Gino's got to find a replacement nominee. And what he had told Jace and Kyle before is that if he needed a replacement, Tanisha. Tanisha's the person that goes up.
Okay.
But... once Marty wins the veto, he starts reconsidering. He goes, Tanisha is a big move. Will we have the numbers? I'm not sure. I don't want to pull a Kyle. Maybe I should just go with an easy route and put up
this is business B.
Not business B again.
Betty from the block.
Maybe he should put up business B instead. Maybe it should be Betty. Or maybe it should be Tanisha. She's a mastermind on the other side. I really need to get Tanisha out. But I don't know if I have the numbers to do it. So maybe I put up Betty. He's going back and forth and back and forth. And in the meantime, Summer's like, look, the smart thing to do is to put up Kyle. And he's like, and then Helena goes to Gino. And Helena has been very anti-Herman since last week. And she drops a ton of not intentionally fake information, but fake information that she believes, which is that she believes that Herman is working with Tanisha and Moose, and they're a three-headed snake, and they've got Summer, and they've got Betty, and they're all working against Gino and all of this stuff. And so Gino's like, oh my God, I definitely don't have the votes to take out Tanisha then. In fact, I'm kind of screwed, aren't I? And he thinks back to what Summer said. And she was saying, look, I've got six people. And if you put up Kyle, I promise you, they'll all want to work with you. And he's like, oh my God, those six people. And he goes, I mean, Kyle did do a thing that I really didn't like.
Kyle pooped on everyone.
So maybe I really just need to take Kyle out. And Helena's like, that would be a smart thing to do. And he was like, all right. And he talks to Marty. And Marty's like, I would love for you to put up Kyle. And he talks to Jace. And she was like, that's so smart. Like everything else that you tell me, I always say it's smart. And so he's like, all right, I think I have to put up Kyle. And he goes to Kyle and he says, hey, Kyle, I think I have to put you up. And Kyle was like, that's so smart. I'm so sorry.
Jeez Louise. Nobody, like, Jace, girl, buy a clue, please. Like, we even saw it in this episode. You two are the only people I trust. Nobody pushes back when you want to put up an alliance member. Nobody. And then Kyle, come on, man. Like, as somebody who was like, I said this on Twitter, like Kyle, like going out or possibly going out on Gino's HOH is just kind of slightly unsatisfying to me, because I would have rather he got like, there was revenge and Herman, like, you know, came after him in blood, or Betty or Josh. Like, that's what I wanted. I wanted the like checkmate from Moose. Like, that's what I wanted. So with Gino kind of being like, I think I got to take you out, bro. And him being like, okay, bro. And I'm just like, man, I can't even have nice things.
I like this round.
Is kind of the ultimate punishment. I don't think there's anything like, worse than your best friend who you would have died for in the game taking you out.
He thought on Thursday, he's like, okay, this doesn't seem good for me, but Gino's HOH, and you know, at least I have 7 more days to try to get my footing together, you know. And then what, 3 days later, he finds out this bad news, and it's gonna sting.
I really
like the idea that like Summer, if we recall in the preseason, was like, the only reason I applied for the show is because I've got a coworker that I hate that really likes it. I really want Summer to like, in her goodbye message to Kyle, bring that same energy and just be like, look, Kyle, you pooped on everyone and you really pissed me off. So I got your best friend to take you out of the game. Like, that's how much you annoyed me.
I think you mean, Taryn, you were messy. You're gone now.
You're a 23-year-old idiot.
Summer would do. If I would.
Yeah.
So Kyle, no campaign, no fight, no nothing.
No fight. He waited until right before the veto ceremony to tell Kyle. Kyle did not have any kind of real resistance. He was mostly like, I wasn't that bad, was I? And he was like,
oh man.
Pretty bad.
Yeah. So Kyle went up with very little fanfare.
But also, like, is there a world where Kyle is ready to go? Like, I mean, he seems down. He seems sad.
I mean, especially initially, I think, when Gino tells him, like, because again, like, when it's your friend who you would have laid down for in the game, yeah, that like you would have done anything for. It's like telling you they have to get rid of you because you're a detriment to them. You're just like, I don't even know how to do anything right now.
Yeah.
But he's rebounded a little bit. He's starting to campaign. But you know.
Yeah. I think I saw a clip of his opening campaign to JC or Jace, and it did not go smoothly.
Yeah.
No.
There's no way Jess can potentially blow this from the other side, right?
It's pretty unlikely. Okay.
They're not doing too much or anything like that, or
no. I mean, Jess is like, they know how to not screw themselves up. Mm-hmm. I think for the most part. I mean, I would say nothing is impossible in Big Brother, but the odds of Kyle staying are incredibly low. Granted, I said the same thing like the night after Gino's HOH reign, that like, because initially I was like, it's possible that he puts Kyle up, but then after the first night, I was like, look, if he was gonna do it, he would have done it. He would have talked about it. He would have mentioned it as a possibility. He would have been open to it. In fact, he told Summer, I felt disrespected by you and people telling me what to do and trying to take over my HOH. I was like, okay, this is clearly not working. Nobody should be trying anymore. And then all of a sudden the dam broke and it worked. Sometimes, you know, you just can't predict what's going to happen here in Big Brother, but it seems very unlikely.
Expect the unexpected. They say it. I mean, not in Canada.
To your point, Rob, the phone's been ringing all day and Kyle's one of the last people who has not yet answered the phone. So there still could be something coming.
Could that be a twist?
I don't know. Yeah, so it's been ringing. Like silly stuff.
It's been giving them tasks to do in the house. There's some speculation that there might be some kind of power end of this. Yeah.
We'll see.
I think if there was a twist, like, we wouldn't be seeing any of this on the feeds. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Probably.
Secret meetup. Matt, Mari, anything else? BB Can 10 at this hour?
The only thing I want to say is I think it's kind of hilarious that Taryn has been talking about everybody just thinking Tanisha is the mastermind of the other side and how they basically thought themselves into a loop to the point where they're like, if I put up Tanisha or if I put up Herman, I don't have the votes, when they would have plenty of votes. And even if they didn't, Gino is the tiebreaker this week. So anybody he wants could go home. And it's a comedy of errors. This whole season has just been a comedy of errors. People just, the misinformation has just been leading to different moves that are just hilariously funny. And I mean, I feel like with Tanisha and Herman and Summer and the perception that they are working with Moose and Betty and Josh, it's very like, oh, we're grouping all of the people of color. We're grouping all of the Black people together because, you know, maybe we saw it on Big Brother 23. Like, we're grouping them all together when in fact they're not all as close as anybody can think of. And then like you're giving them power. Like, you are forcing, like, even if they once they actually do solidify it, especially if one of them wins next week, it will be their fault. It'll be your fault. You know what I'm saying? Looking at you, Kyle, it'll be your fault, Kyle, because you blew up the whole seven and all of that because you were afraid that they were working together, and they were working together. They were working together with you. Like, yeah, this is your fault, Kyle.
It's very much like it started with like what if Tanisha betrayed us, right? Like, that would, we, I don't know if we can trust Tanisha. What if she betrayed, what if Tanisha betrayed us and she's working with Herman? Oh man. What if Tanisha betrayed us? And then also, but what if she's also working with Herman and Summer and Moose is with them? Okay. We really need to be worried now. There's now a four person alliance against us. But what if that four person alliance also had Josh and Betty and they had even more numbers? And what if they've been against us this whole time? And what if they're planning to put us on the block next week? And what if we don't have the numbers to take any of them out anymore? We have to take each other out to appease them. And the first thing wasn't true. The very first seed of that was not even true. None of it is.
We have to take ourselves.
Oh, Tanisha, my God. I will sacrifice my friend. Just please. Mm-hmm. Don't harm me in this game. And Tanisha's just like, I wonder what my daughter's doing. Oh, I didn't realize we could have said Marty we wanted to save. Damn. Mm-hmm.
Kyle Moore just had to be on Twitter that day. Couldn't have had a private account. Would have saved all this aggravation. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm done.
Yeah.
Chappelle tried to warn him.
Yep, he didn't listen to Chappelle.
He tried.
Yeah. I mean, others tried to warn him. Yeah. He doesn't listen. Yeah. What are you going to do? Okay. Matt, anything else for you?
No. Stan Summer. That's okay. All I got.
All right. Well, Gino would give you a thumbs up for that. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and talk about what's coming up next. Okay. Taryn, back to the live feed updates for Tuesday with Mel Holst, 11 yes. a.m. Eastern.
We'll update you on this phone situation and everything else Kyle's been doing.
Okay. All right. Then we've got the Stock Watch coming up on Tuesday night. Of course, joining Taryn and Melissa this week, it's Puya Zambakili. How about that?
Yes, we've got some ratings to do. Mm-hmm. We'll get Puya's thoughts on Kyle's trajectory. Mm-hmm. It should be an interesting one.
Okay. All right. Then coming up Wednesday night, it is going to be a BB Can recap with Melissa Denny. That'd be fun.
Melissa and myself will be doing recording, not live, a quick recap of Wednesday night's episode while the Know-It-Alls is running, and then that will get out to you all that night. So those have been really fun. There's quick little recaps. We've been really enjoying them. So yeah, make sure you check it out.
Yeah. Comet Strider in the chat says, don't forget to talk about the Veto comp outfit. So Melissa will be able to weigh in on what they're wearing in the Veto. And then on Wednesday night, we'll be back talking about Survivor 42. Episode 3. It's been a great season of Survivor so far. We'll be back with episode number 3. Looks like things are a harrowing night in the water for the survivors coming up. We'll talk about it all on Survivor Know-It-Alls coming up on Wednesday at 9:15. Of course, you could hear even more Survivor talk in our Patreon podcast feed. That's where Brian Scally joined me this week on Survivor Academy to talk through some of my thoughts on how to be best using the Beware advantage, what happens when you lose your vote, and much more. Really a deep dive into all of the strategy that future players may need to be thinking about when they go into future seasons of Survivor. That's at robinswebsite.com/patron. Plus, in addition to that, we've got our patron orientation coming up as well. And of course, you know everything we're doing on Survivor. I'll give you the patron pitch here. That patron orientation coming up on Tuesday night. Be on the lookout for that, plus much more in our patron podcast feed. And everything we're doing on Survivor, including Taryn's weekly stock watch, is at robiswebsite.com/survivorfeed. Okay? All right. And then, Mari, we had so much fun on Friday night. When we got to talk about the brand new Netflix limited edition series, Bad Vegan, that it was a lot of fun. Everybody's talking about Bad Vegan on the radio this morning. The local DJ was playing a clip of this woman from YouTube who was saying that she felt the worst for the dog in this whole situation. Did anybody ask the dog if the dog wanted to be immortal? So we had a lot of fun talking about Bad Vegan as a kickoff to the brand new Crime Scene, True Crime Wrap Up with Mari and Sarah Carrion. And a new episode is coming out tomorrow.
Yes. Our second episode will be dropping tomorrow. We will be recapping an episode of Unsolved Mysteries. So Crime Scene is basically a true crime wrap up. We're going to be watching different true crime documentaries, docuseries, like anything true crime related. We're going to watch it, and then we're going to review the property itself. So more of a wrap up style true crime, not a, like I said last night, me and Sarah will not be solving any murders or cases on here. We are we're just going to be giving you our reviews on docs and other episodic long running true crime properties. So check us out.
Yeah. So you can hear us talk about Bad Vegan plus whatever else Mari and Sarah are going to come up with in the brand new Crime Scene podcast feed. That's at robinswebsite.com/crimefeed on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. There you go. All right.
Yay.
Okay. And then... and the wrestling wrap up.
Yes.
Mari's so busy.
I am very busy. Me and Matt Scott, the other Matt, every week we go over the highlights.
Who's this in the picture? Wrestling.
That's Thunder Rosa. She's like Thunder Rosa.
Is Becky Lynch okay?
That's AEW's Thunder Rosa. And she just won the AEW Women's Championship last week. So it was in a really bloody cage match, a women's cage match. Yeah, it was really cool. Okay. So we break it all down. You don't even have to watch wrestling to go listen to us. We had Matt Liguria on there a few weeks. So please go check it out at robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed.
Okay. All right. Yay. And then, Taryn, I know you got an interview, a tough interview to get with Tyson Apostle.
Yes. The Taryn Show with Tyson. It was very fun. I mean, he's luckily around to advertise it to people as well. Mm-hmm. So it was a good time.
Okay. All right. Check that out. You got another Taryn Show coming tomorrow?
Hopefully.
Okay. All right. all right. Of course, I told you already about robinswebsite.com/patron for everything we're doing over our patron podcast feed. And of course, our patron Facebook and Discord and everything we have going on in the patron community at robinswebsite.com/patron, including patron orientation. That's going to be at 7 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday night. If you can join us, I walk you through how to access the patron benefits. And then I love to say hello to our newest patrons. Of course, even if you are not a brand new patron, but you'd like to join us, you could do that in our patron orientation. I sent out the link earlier today on Patreon. That's going to be Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. All right. And of course, make sure you subscribe to Robin's Podcast. If you're watching us on YouTube, hit that subscribe button or subscribe wherever you get your podcast to Robin's Podcast and Reality TV Rehap Ups. Okay. Matt, what's coming up for you?
What's coming up for me? I recorded with the BoJack Horseman crew, BoJack Horse Pod, for next week's episode. So be on the lookout for that. Still got the choir room with Amon running, and eventually the challenge will be back. And, you know, who knows what's going on over on that show. So, you know, of course, coverage on that.
Yeah.
Some people might with Brian Scali over on the Dom and Colin podcast. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. Great job tonight, Matt and Mari. Of course, you told us about the crime scene and the wrestling wrap up. Anything else going on?
I do. You can find me over on Post Show Recaps.
Oh, yes.
Recapping. Yes. Atlanta with Chappelle and Latanya. We brought the Insecure Gang back together to discuss Atlanta. The season 3 premieres this Thursday. So we did record 2 like kickoff episodes. So you can what you need to know before going into season 3. And then we will review every episode for season 3. And that'll drop over there. So go check us out on Post Show Recaps.
Okay. Mari, thank you for joining us here tonight. And Taryn, how about for you?
Find me on Twitch as always, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, watching the episodes live with all of you. Check out the round table, all the stuff coming up for Big Brother. And, this week for Survivor, we've got the Survivor, you know, crossover, of the century here. Myself and Shannon, will be talking about, Survivor, the global Survivor podcast with the Stockwatch coming together, and we will have a good time with that. So that will be a little bit later than normal this week.
Yeah, and then just a quick programming note from me I've had the pleasure of being here for the first few Monday nights of the Big Brother Canada season. I have very busy podcast weekends right now with Survivor being back, so I think that we are in good hands with the RHAP crew on Monday nights without me. Would love to pop back in for a BB Can recap here and there, but I am going to hand over the reins to Taryn on Monday nights for the rest of the way. So this has been a lot of fun getting to talk about the Wendy's with you. And of course, I will be listening along on all the podcasts. So thank you so much for joining us. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.